Good morning. It's great to see you all here. It is great to be here to worship our God, to remember his son's death, to sing songs and offer up our desires to him. This morning, I really didn't know what to say to you guys. I didn't know what to preach to you. It has been a fun 2 weeks in the Head household, with sickness, with a death, with all these things that we've had go on. There was a lot on my mind. I had two sermons prepared, and I really just didn't know which one to present. One was about the briefness of life and how short it is. You'll get that next week, because I'm going to take Jonathan's turn next week. But this morning's sermon is about arrogance. You might be looking at me, arrogance, pride, whatever you want to call it. But it's about arrogance. Carrie last night went arrogantly to her faucet, turned it on. There was no water pressure. How many of you have done that? Went something you knew was going to be there, and there's like, nope, it's not there. One of the great quotes about George Power is they want you to be so arrogant when you hit that light switch because they don't want you to think about them. When you start thinking about them, that's when they're in trouble. Mr. Jarrett's back there shaking his head. Yep, don't want you thinking about me at all. I don't want you to wonder about me. Arrogance is destructive, though. It can lead to many things in our lives. It is a harsh sin, and it's subtle. We don't even realize it sometimes that we're doing it. I have been accused of being arrogant sometimes, and I like to say, no, no, no. That's just really good self-confidence. But it's probably me being arrogant. It's probably something that I need to reflect on. And as I always say, the lesson is first to Trey and then to you. So let's talk about some examples of arrogance this morning. But before that, I'm going to make one more point before we get there. So the reason for this pick also is this week we had a study on the minor prophets, me and three other young brothers. And the line in Zephaniah 12, first chapter of Zephaniah, verse 12, is about the men becoming complacent. But the Lord will search them to destroy them because they've become complacent. They say that God will neither do good nor ill. That also sounds like a little bit of arrogance. Like that God can't affect me. He's neither do good or ill to me. So let's look at this. As we talked about, it's already a subtle sin. It's already easy to creep into our lives. It's easy to exalt ourselves. It's easy to say I'm good enough, that I'm the best, that I'm the most awesome. We can put ourselves, giving ourselves credit for things that God has done. The first example of arrogance, we're going to look at the falling of the shiny one in Isaiah 14:12. Notice I didn't say the falling of Lucifer or anything like that, because that word there doesn't mean Lucifer. It means shining one. You could be talking about a proud ruler. Turn over to Isaiah 14 and begin at verse 12. And it's a very poetic image that Isaiah puts here. Beginning in verse 12, it says, How have you fallen from heaven, you star of the morning, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to the earth, you who defeated nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the resources of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be brought down to Sheol, to recesses of the pit. Does that sound like an arrogant statement from the shiny one? I will make myself like the Most High. My throne will reach the stars of heaven. I would say it is very, very arrogant to say such a thing. It's definitely the image of a proud ruler. It reveals the devastating effects of arrogance. The shiny one sought to elevate himself to a position that only God holds. He wanted to make himself equal with God, or even above God. Think about his statement, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will make myself like the Most High. That sounds like arrogance and rebellion. I am going to make myself greater than the Most High. Some of us would like to be greater than our boss on earth. Some of us would like to be greater than so-and-so. But this guy says, I want to be greater than the Most High. He was blinded by his own pride or his own arrogance. He didn't think about God's supremacy, and it led to his downfall. Pride often deceives us, making us forget our dependence on God. How often are we arrogant or prideful, and we're reminded very quickly we're very dependent on God? Being dropped to our knees in prayers, thanking God for either delivering us from a situation or trying to get him to help us through a situation. How many of you had that happen to you in your lives? I can count several times in my life. But all I could do was drop and pray. And it's often when I've been the most arrogant, when I've been the most prideful. In James chapter 4 and verse 10, James writes us an exhortation. It says, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." We've got to be on guard against self-exaltation. We've got to be on guard for making ourselves better than what we think we are. And we got to recognize God's ultimate authority. The next example of arrogance we're going to look at is Pharaoh. Pharaoh makes one of the most arrogant statements in the whole Bible. He says in Exodus 5 and verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." We know that Moses comes to him and tells him, "Hey, the Lord says you have to let the people go." He says, "I don't know this guy. I don't care. I'm the Pharaoh. I'm the ultimate authority in Egypt." And we see the tragedy that befalls that nation. We see the tragedy that befalls Pharaoh. Plague after plague, and then finally death hits Egypt. Pharaoh's arrogance caused him to reject God's authority and command, leading to devastating consequences for himself and for his nation. Pharaoh's pride led him to question God's power, thinking his own authority was supreme, and his refusal to obey God shows the danger of self-reliance. You think Pharaoh was self-reliant? You think that he saw himself above God, that he could control the outcome of this situation? Absolutely. Is that arrogance? Absolutely. In each act, as Reagan pointed out in class, harden his heart a little bit more. A little bit more, a little bit more. Each action, each thing happened, he just became hardened and more hardened. But the Hebrew writer tells us something very different. The Hebrew writer is in chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Do not harden your hearts. We must remain humble and open to God's word. How hard is it when sin creeps in for it to just become easier and easier? It makes us not want to listen to God's word. It makes us not want to listen to sound brethren trying to direct us out of that path. I would say it's very easy. Because we become to enjoy sin. We become to be in love with sin. We become rooted in sin instead of God's word. The next example we're going to look at is King Nebuchadnezzar. Turn over to Daniel chapter 4. And we'll pick up in verse 30. There are some believe that Isaiah passage we read is speaking on this. But look at Daniel 4, verse 30. It says, "The king began speaking and saying, 'Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself has built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?'" Does that sound arrogant to you? Does that sound self-exalting to you? Does that sound like he is making himself higher than what he is and forgetting someone who has probably made him? Continuing. "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared sovereignty has been removed from you, and you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be the animals of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of times will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes.'" Nebuchadnezzar made a statement. And he got a response, didn't he? Sometimes our statements deserve responses from God. Sometimes we can forget who really rules this planet, who really directs our lives, who gives us that breath of life every day. Nebuchadnezzar has exalted himself. He gave glory to himself instead of God. I can tell you as a salesman, sometimes I forget this. I think, oh, look at me and all my talents, all my wise words, all my way to say things to people. Instead of thanking God for those talents, instead of thanking God for allowing me to say those words. It is a very easy thing to do in sales is to get so arrogant. Like, look at me, look at me, look at me. I made numbers that no one else could do. I did things that no one else said could be done. I landed that account that everyone else tried. It's very easy. Instead of being humble and giving God the credit. Think about this. God humbled him by taking away his sanity and his authority over his kingdom. He made him like an animal. You think that's humbling? To go from the king with the most authority in the kingdom to eating grass like a crazy person. You think people might have looked at him a little different while that happened? Absolutely. I can only imagine the sudden change. James writes to us, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Whether we are given the authority of a kingdom, or a new car, or a new job, let's remember the Lord and all the things that he's given us. It's a time of the year where materialism is going to really expand over the next 10 days. We're going to get gifts, we're going to get presents, we're going to get all these things, but let's remember who all these things come from and who allowed us to give all these things. It's the Lord. It's very easy to get wrapped up in the season of giving. Let us all be mindful of those things as we do it. The next example we're going to look at is the Pharisee. Jesus gives a parable in Luke 18. In verse 9 through 14, he tells about two men who go up to God and offer prayer. Let's look at that. That's Luke 18, 9 through 14. It says, now he also told the parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and began praying in this regard, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Swindlers, crooked, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay my tithes of all that I get. Thank you, Lord, for not making me like these hillbillies. Thank you, Lord, for making me not like these people who I don't really want to mess with. And even this little lowly tax collector guy. Thank you, Lord. Sounds awfully arrogant, doesn't it? And then contrast that with the tax collector. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was uneven willing to raise his eyes toward heaven. That verse really struck me over this last couple days when I've been reading it. This man was so humbled by God and loved God so much that he didn't think he was worthy to look at him. He was in submission, complete submission and humility toward God when he was addressing him. That's an image. That is a contrast between the two. He wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven. That had really struck me this week. But was beating his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the one who for everyone he exalts himself will be humbled. But for the one who humbles himself will be exalted. That is a stark contrast between arrogance and humility. That is a stark contrast between submission to God and putting yourself on level with God. That tax collector is someone we should all aspire to be more like. He addressed God in full submission. Recognizing God. This Pharisee who should know God, should know all the things that God has done, is like all the other Pharisees. all the other things that we've read about in the minor prophets, who oppressed people, who sought their own, who didn't seek the Lord. Does this sound like a man who's praying, who seeks the Lord? It doesn't to me. And that's Jesus' point here. Think about the self-righteousness this Pharisee has. It led him to think that he was better than others. It led to judgment and his unwillingness to forgive. But we all need to be reminded of one thing. Romans 3:23 says it's the best. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That includes you. That includes me. And that includes everyone outside of this building. We all need God in his forgiveness. And that Pharisee did not recognize this. Arrogance isolates us, fostering judgment and contempt for others instead of compassion. This week in that study, someone said that complacency leads him to say this sometimes. When he becomes complacent, he does this very thing. It's a lot like arrogance, isn't it? He sits back and he sees what others are doing, and that's what he focuses on, all the negative little things. And I thought to myself, you know, that sounds a lot like what I do when I become that way. It's easy to do, to see all the negative. Oh, I'm not a crooked person. I'm not a swindler. I'm not a this. I'm not a that. But I'm still a sinner, and I don't recognize it. It's easy to do. Easy to become arrogant in that fact. But humility brings us justification. Jesus said at the end of that, says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted." In conclusion, pride is subtle sin with devastating consequences. Whether it manifests itself like exaltation, defiance, self-glorification, or self-righteousness, arrogance always leads to stumbling and destruction. However, God's word offers a remedy, and it's humility before God. To combat pride in our lives, we must examine specific areas where arrogance might take root. As we mentioned earlier, in our successes. How easy to be successful and say, look at me, look at me, look at me, look what all I've done. How great I am. How great I've become. You think people who are highly successful are a little bit arrogant? Yeah. It's easy. It's easy to think that you're in control of everything. It's easy to say, look what I've done. Instead of forgetting who's really in charge. Think about Proverbs 3 and verse 6. It says, "In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." That means whether I'm successful, whether I'm not, I should acknowledge the Lord God in all of the things that he's provided me. That's a difficult passage. In all of my ways, I'm to acknowledge the Lord. You might be thinking, well, Trey, it's really easy. Like, just say, thank you, God, for all you've given me. But is it easy in that moment when you've done something that no one else has ever done? When you have broke records that no one thought could be broken? Or you get that job that you've been trying so hard to get? You think that's easy to be acknowledging God in that moment? To say, hey, Lord, thank you for giving me this. Thank you, Lord, for providing me the talents to make this happen. I'd ask you to review it. Go back and look at some successes you had, and what was your first thought when you had them? I bet you would check that attitude if you had to do it over again. I know I would in some instances. In our relationships, how often does our pride and our arrogance affect our relationships? You think arrogance and pride affects your relationships with people in this world? Everybody shake your head yes. Pride leads to judgment, and as we talked about, an unwillingness to forgive. Well, look at them. They're sinners. There's no hope for them. There's nothing I can do for them. They'll never be like me. Sounds like that Pharisee all over again. Philippians 2, verse 3, Paul writes to the Philippians, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves." more important than me? I have to address you as you're more important than me? That's a hard command. That's not a, hey, if you want to, that is a command. You think that's an easy one? No, it's not. I have to address everyone in this room as you are more important than myself. How often do we forget that? How often do we just go on about our lives? Even that broke down person at the grocery store who looks like they've had a rough 20 years. Do we look at them and go, huh, it's just not me. I didn't get there. I didn't do that. But how easy can we go from ruling a kingdom to chewing grass? Could easily be us. Something to be thankful for. That we have a command here to humble ourselves and consider one another. I'm sure there are people who have considered me many times. In fact, I know there are. What about our spiritual lives? Can arrogance and pride affect our spiritual lives? Yeah, they can. It says, pride can deceive us into trusting our own righteousness. Look at me, I'm righteous. I go to church, I give my money, I do all the things I'm supposed to. I get up there and I give sermons, I teach classes. Look at me, look at me, look at me. You think that would come off as arrogance to some people? I gave a 2-hour sermon the other day on the most difficult verses in the Bible. And that's all I could talk about. Look at me, look at me, look at me. It wasn't, hey, this was a really hard study. I had a lot of help from brethren who put me through it. It's, oh man, look at me. I gave that 2-hour sermon. I talked in front of 500 people and they all listened to me intently. Is that what we're supposed to be doing up here? Is that what we're being measured by? I don't think it is. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For grace you have been saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Salvation is from God. We can do nothing to earn it except obey what he has asked us to do. We can't send our son to the cross to die for it. We can't be the son who dies on the cross. All we have to do is obey God, which is another hard set of commands, is obey God in everything that we do. Acknowledge him in all of our ways. As we reflect on this lesson, I have 3 questions. 1, are we elevating ourselves above God and others? Question 2, are we taking credit for what God has done with our lives? Question 3, do we see others with humility? Or do we look down on them? Those are our questions that we can ask each other every day, or ourselves every day. Are we elevating ourselves above God? Are we taking credit for what God has done in our lives? And do we see others with humility? Or do we look down on them? As we think about these things, let us humble ourselves before God, trusting in his grace and walking in obedience to his word. As James 4:10 reminds us, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Humility goes a long way, folks. Sometimes it is easier to say, I'm not good enough without God. I'm not good enough without my brethren helping me. The lesson is yours. Let us go through this life being humble. Let us go through this week reminding ourselves that God sent his son to die for us because we were sinners. Not because of how great we are, but because of how needful we were. If you've not yet become a Christian, we invite you at this time to become one. I will tell you that Christ died for your sins. I will tell you that God sent his son to die for your sins. And if you believe that, come up here and confess it. Repent of your ways and be baptized and become a Christian. Or if you've already done those things and you just need prayers, or you need to acknowledge some arrogance in your life, we ask you to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.